You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is the 20th of September, 2023. And this is your host, unfortunately solo yet again, Matthew Raphael Johnson. I want you to always keep Sven Longshanks in mind. I just sent him a letter and some money, and I recommend you do the same as well. And today we're going to be talking about something I don't bring up very much, and that's the vaccine. And I'm doing this for two reasons. First of all, my doctor just recommended it to me. And I didn't say anything. My silence was, I think, sufficient for him. And the second reason is that Pfizer, through the Freedom of Information Act, the Canadian version of that, has been forced to release both financial and other internal documents, showing what a fraud and how criminal this entire operation is. And I found this out through, of course, Michel Chosudovsky in his article of September 18th, where he goes into some of these reports in detail. In the 2022 financial report, which is a full year, and deals obviously with the money issue, but it also deals with confidential deals, concerning, mortality and morbidity. Now, the full year revenues is a public document, and it does assess the impressive financial performance of that company. And of course, they're really speaking to potential investors. Now, Pfizer's own confidential report is a different story, and this is the second one that Chosudovsky mentions. And that gives you a sense of how this vaccine is working out in the general population. And that actually came out in October of 2021. No one was supposed to see it, not reported by the press, but anyone could get their hands on it. And if you go to Chosudovsky's global research page, it's in many places. And the question he answers is a simple one. Is there a causal relationship between Pfizer's record of just about $100 billion in revenue, 2022, and the mRNA vaccine's severely upward trend in terms of mortality? No, there's clearly a correlation. In other words, the upward trend in mortality and illness and sickness, which, by the way, did not exist under when COVID was, in 2020, only exists since the mass vaccination of the planet's population. So these illnesses are, in fact, profitable. When you have this being enforced by governments and universities and even militaries around the world, you have profit being made almost directly by the action of the state or other regime members. It is, of course, the largest vaccine program ever, targeting 8 billion people. Now, as of September 13th of this year, it's something like 14 billion vaccine doses have been administered. It's estimated that, and I used a passive voice here because it really depends on who you read, that about 3/4 of the population of planet Earth has received at least 2 doses. I, thank God, I'm not one of them. But regardless of how you slice it, it's a multi-billion dollar operation. Now, the financial report dealing with 2022 came out this year, obviously. It doesn't provide details on marketing. You have corrupt national governments pressured heavily by not just these massive pharmaceutical companies, but by the U.S. government, have enforced this vaccine. And not just as a matter of enforcement, but have okayed attacks. And in the state of New York, even camps for those who refuse to be vaccinated. Now, I don't need to tell you that the devastating effects of this so-called vaccine have been denied frantically by those who have an interest in it. And of course, the regime as a whole. So over 2 years, something like 13 billion doses were administered across 184 countries. As of September 10th of this year, something like 13.5 billion. And that means the world population is 8. In fact, the U.S. federal government over a two-year period purchased just over a billion doses of both Pfizer and Moderna's COVID vaccine, spending $25 billion on it. And it comes roughly to $20 a dose. And you can consider Moderna essentially de facto a part of Pfizer. And how many times have I spoke of the power of the private sector, far more powerful than the state, and this is just an example. And of course, the price keeps going up as time goes on. Now they want to increase the price between, well, it's roughly about $130 per dose. And you look three to four times greater than what was negotiated previously. And of course, since it relies on this fear campaign, there's no, you have both the working of private and public sectors in creating these kinds of profits. Now, the confidential report, in fact, the subtitle is Cumulative Analysis of Post-Authorization Adverse Event Reports. The report was made public in October of 2021. There, you get extensive details. Again, an internal document never meant to be read by the public. And this particular report is important, despite the fact that it only really covers December of 2020 to the end of February 2021. So what, 2.5 months? But it is a large sample. The record of deaths, the adverse effects, all this is categorized. And many of you have seen variations of this. The very fact that this was a confidential document that had to be pried out of their hands ends the debate. And it's really all you have to say to people. Essentially, it's private sector classification has been declassified. And of course, it confirms extensive adverse effects. Not to mention many deaths. So the difference between mortality and morbidity. And because of such a short period, the numbers are extraordinary. The COVID vaccine significantly increased the risk of hospitalization in between 7 and 9 months after vaccination. And Trostadowski comes to the conclusion that this unequivocally confirms the crime of manslaughter committed institutionally because Pfizer knew and knows how dangerous it is, and it still pushed it to great profit for themselves. They could have withdrawn it. Of course, they refused. And yet, both the state as well as media, as well as any other entity with power, has, well, knowing at least some of this, refused to inform the state. I want to read from it here. This is the confidential report. Through the 28th of February 2021, there was a total of 42,086 case reports containing 158,893 events. Most were received from the U.S., and then in descending order, the U.K., Italy, Germany, France, Portugal, and Spain. The system organ classes that contain the greatest number of events in the overall dataset were generalized disorders and administration site condition. You had 26,000 nervous system disorders, musculoskeletal and connective tissue disorders, gastrointestinal disorders, about 14,000, skin and subcutaneous tissue disorders, respiratory, thoracic, almost 10,000, infections and infestations, about 5,000 too, poisoning, procedural complications in the tens of thousands. Now there's another, came out on June 18th of 2022, or at least the study went that far, revealed 5 million harmful clinical outcomes. Now in this one, the number of nervous system disorders is 700,000, 696,000. The musculoskeletal, connective tissue, about the same. And about 100,000 pain in the extremities. Gastrointestinal, 317,811. Respiratory, about 200,000. Reproductive system disorders, about 200,000, 178,353. All kinds of infections, including parasites, 167,000. Cardiac disorder, blood and lymphatic system disorders, about 100,000 each. And this was some time ago, this was more than a year ago, that this was done. 4,000 examples of cancer. And this is just the reported list of problems. As of June 18th, 2022. Not only is this because, you know, these numbers are low because data is suppressed, but people are not considering these as a result of the vaccine and therefore are not attributing it to it. These are things that they absolutely know came from almost immediately, but not always, a few months after the vaccination. The VAERS data. We all know that's the institution dealing with adverse effects from vaccines in general. Underreports data by a factor of sometimes 100. Not only because of how these things are listed, how they're diagnosed, and the fact that only maybe, I don't know, maybe 10, 20% actually report anything. And if that's even partially true, you then have fatalities in the millions. And we all know that VAERS, their data entries have been suppressed wherever you go. The CDC used to report it all the time. They no longer do. In other words, Pfizer was fully aware. When they put this out, I mean, it wasn't out internally. Several reports very similar to this. The confidential report was in 2021, March, and the other one I cited from, also Pfizer, June 18th, 2022. They know this, and yet they're marketing it to the entire planet and profiting from it. I love how these leftists, they don't even mention this. And the reason they don't mention it is because it's a fraudulent, elite-created organization. In fact, since the regime is leftist, you can't call it a movement. They are the establishment. They could have withdrawn it. They refused. This is a what the regime calls a crime against humanity on an unprecedented scale. The WHO, as well as over 186 national governments, are complicit here. Most of those who had access to these documents were well aware, and it's a lot of people, were well aware of it. So beyond February 28th of 2021, which is where that data set in the initial document I mentioned ended, it's not involuntary homicide anymore. It's not manslaughter anymore. We're talking about murder. And we're talking about criminal intent. So from a legal standpoint, it has to be murder because they know what they're doing. They plan it out, they profit from it, and they do it anyway. And what do you call that when this is a worldwide deliberate marketing movement? And you use this in any debate, and you need to tell them that this is a huge sample. despite only being 2.5 months. The sample size comes from many countries. This is the most detailed evidence we have of this vaccine as it pertains to these kind of adverse events. And you know, you could go on, you know, the various technical peer review studies. You see them in Dura Vigilance, which is a Swiss company that collects this data, MHRA in Britain, and of course, VAERS in the US. The debate is over when you reach a point where you have to force the company to release its internal document, which, by the way, itself is pretty impressive. This data is right there, and probably, actually, it has to be heavily underreported. You could say that the numbers that I cited, that Pfizer cited here, are, you know, maybe 40% of the total, for reasons, you know, I think a lot of you already know. And sometimes we forget that Pfizer already has a conviction for fraudulent marketing and a felony violation of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. Even there, this hasn't seemed to bother them in the least. So this isn't just fraudulent marketing. This is utter and total criminality. Dr. Marty McCarty and Dr. Tracy Beth-Hogue, September 14th. You may have seen some of this because it came out in the New York Post on September 14th. And these two, of course, are specialists in this very field. And they start off their article by saying, what if I told you 1 in 50 people who took a new medication had a medically attended adverse event and the manufacturer refused to disclose exactly what the complication was? Would you take it? And what if the theoretical benefit was only transient, lasting about 3 months, after which your susceptibility goes back to the baseline? And what if we told you that the FDA cleared it without any human outcomes data, and European regulators are not universally recommending it, as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is? Well, these are rhetorical questions that, if anything, underestimate the dangers here. Now, we know now from the Pfizer data that they are admitting what the complication was. Now, medically attended means you had to go to the hospital and there is an attending physician assigned to you. Now, those controlling the Biden administration are promoting, and then on, they're promoting mandates of 6 months old and up, meaning the ages. Now, you have what Dr. Jha and the CDC head, Mandy Cohen, making wild claims that it reduces hospitalizations, and they're making these claims knowing that they're not telling the truth. There is, you know, for them to say that this is a vaccine at all, and that it will keep you out of the hospital, even if you get it, is utter nonsense. There is no data supporting that anywhere. Now, of course, the new COVID vaccine from Moderna was approved a couple weeks ago. And even Pfizer says that there is zero efficacy data and hasn't been tested on humans at all. The data that exists is about antibody production from exactly 10 mice. Because of the Freedom of Information Act, which normally is applied to government, which shows you how close governments are, whether it be in Canada, in the U.S., it doesn't make any difference. We know that you know, the disclosure was never going to happen unless something like that occurred. As I said, and I'll say again, the debate's over. The regime proved and recommended the so-called novel COVID bivalent booster roughly a year ago, with zero data concerning its outcomes. And what I didn't know until fairly recently was that about 17% of Americans bothered to take it. And of that, probably most, if not all, were forced to do so by employer, school, and as far as I know now, the military has backed off on the mandate. I don't know how that goes branch by branch. So they were met with very ambivalent public support a year ago. The Biden administration, those who control it, prepaid almost $5 billion for 171 million doses, and those were tossed in the garbage. The worst news, though, is that about a month ago, the regime upped its orders for the pediatric version of the new vaccines from roughly 15 million doses to 20 million for just under $2 billion. There is a push now, a special push, to give this to children, which, by the way, European regulators are very iffy concerning them. For people under age 30, the initial Moderna vaccine was banned in parts of Europe. Now, you have vaccine mandate supporters like Dr. Paul Offit, from the University of Pennsylvania. And he told The Atlantic a few weeks ago that he is not going to take the new COVID vaccine. And he didn't even take that bivalent booster last fall either. And he's almost 75 years old. He went after the regime's official doctors like Jaha. And he said, yes, he was wrong, but you know, you can't say that exactly. In other words, his career would be in danger if he said that this man was wrong. So Offit, despite him being a supporter of the mandate, probably only concerning the media firestorm that would come down on him, you have doctors who, you got to remember, because of the regime of mass censorship, any particular issue, the average person, the average normie, and especially the average elite member, like doctors and politicians, they're only, the amount of data available to them is fairly small. They don't ever really attempt to get in the heads of their opponents or see their opponents' arguments, even if it was just to refute them, because they don't really have access to it. And at the absolute worst from their point of view, they'll simply misstate the evidence or what the arguments are. Well, you can't deny $100 billion was made in profit during that era of the so-called pandemic. Obviously, you can afford to run a randomized trial. You know, COVID-19 is always circulating, so there's tons of opportunity to run a trial. Moderna did run one. Yeah, Moderna, as far as I know, I think that Moderna only has the vaccine as their only product. It was created for that reason. But they ran a so-called randomized trial. 50 people, 4 months ago, and only reported 14-day side effects. Well, as I've already said, side effects tend to show up between, what did I say, 4 and 7 months. Somewhere in there. They wouldn't even do the 3 month effectiveness. So the trial was absolutely meaningless. So follow up studies of COVID vaccines in general have revealed the truth. At best, mild effectiveness. And it doesn't last very long. If you remember when this first came out, they weren't saying anything. They were explicitly saying, this is going to be free and this is going to be the only one you do. Well, it's sort of like being a non-white or a woman in academia. You're never going to be challenged on how much you know. Everything you say is going to be taken reverentially. So why study? Why bother to become knowledgeable if that knowledge, whatever you say, is not going to be challenged? And it's the same thing here. They knew that they controlled the regulatory process. So why are they going to spend a dime on any kind of placebo, randomized control study? Now, in February, The Lancet, Harvard Med, I think, reviewed 65 studies, or it's a meta-study, and were forced to conclude that natural immunity is at least as good as this present vaccinated immunity, and probably better. But at the very same university, they'll force these non-effective so-called inoculations on students. COVID vaccines are very different from flu vaccines. Yeah, flu vaccines don't have to do a randomized trial. The complication rates, illness and death rates that that Pfizer has cited, no other vaccine can come close to this. It's true that both for polio and smallpox, you saw around the time of mass vaccination huge outbreaks of the disease. That's true. Flu shots, which I wouldn't take in a million years anyway, they have a 50-plus year safety record, as these doctors say. But COVID? You have a serious, not just an adverse event, serious adverse event with one out of roughly 5,000 doses. And that comes from the Paul Ehrlich Institute in Germany. Any institute, though, that's named after Paul Ehrlich, you just have to laugh at. There is a medical journal called Vaccine, which, you know, you would think would be into this kind of thing. They estimate serious adverse effects to be roughly 1 in 556. And young people, as I've seen several studies now, myocarditis, 6 to 28 times higher after the vaccine than after infection. And that comes from the JAMA cardiology study last year. Scientists are worried, and these doctors mention this, something called immune imprinting, an additional way that multiple boosters weaken the immune system. You even have Science magazine describing the reduced immune response among people infected who then received 3 COVID vaccine doses. They conclude by saying, if public health officials get their way, a healthy 5-year-old boy will get 72 COVID vaccine shots over the course of his lifetime. And if he has an average lifespan, which I don't think is going to happen, he'll have a substantial increased risk of myocarditis after each one. CDC goes so far as to say that even if the child had COVID 3 weeks ago, he should still get the COVID shot. The concept is, of course, whether it be the state, that is the FDA, or the oligarchs who run the pharmaceutical companies, they put out a COVID vaccine without human outcomes data. So their claims to scientific acumen should be mocked if you hear anything like that. Even the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, as well as the Food and Drug Administration, have explicitly shown the risk that myocarditis following the COVID vaccination. And their number is 133 times greater than the background risk in the general population. Myocarditis is an autoimmune disease causing inflation of the heart. And in real numbers, what it comes down to is that COVID vaccination increases the risk of that by 13,200%. And when you have elite, now this is the U.S. centers as well as the CDC as well as the state admitting this, and they get their data, at least partially from VAE or RED, and then cross-check to make sure that it met the CDC's definition of myocarditis. The passive, you know, they mentioned the passive nature of the VAERS system, and they fully admit that this number is pretty low, since it's always underreported. Around 96% of affected people were hospitalized, most treated with anti-inflammatories. Now 87% of those hospitalized had resolution at the time of their discharge, but they don't follow up for any length of time. But for those under 30, which COVID does not normally affect at all, reported symptoms concerned chest pain, pressure, shortness of breath, abnormal EKG, cardiac MRIs. So clearly it affects them. They didn't have a specific number for those under 30. But given those symptoms, we could come to some conclusion. And they fully admit that vaccination is not a reliable way to avoid COVID infections. The low risk of complications for a young person getting COVID is, you know, does not require a shot. But we read about these young people, these young athletes dropping dead, and the regime continues to push the vaccine. But as this is all going on, the American Heart Association, the American College of Cardiology advise that people with myocarditis should refrain from competitive sports for 3 to 6 months. And they actually advise that further mRNA vaccine doses should be deferred. Well, what they say in public, of course, is a very different story. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. I don't know if that's for their conscience or what. But you utterly have to be a sociopath to promote this vaccine to anybody. This is where actual censorship has physical results. Because the other side is not being mentioned anywhere, and is openly being attacked. I mentioned the New York concentration camps idea, which is actually, you know, still being fought in the courts. Because of public ignorance, as a result of censorship, people, for no reason, are getting this shot, thinking it's like a flu shot. And I think every single person listening to me is well aware that they've heard that comparison before. In other words, when you have the CDC, when you have the FDA that approved all this stuff, when you have numerous university hospitals, when you have Pfizer and its own internal documents admitting everything that we've been saying from the moment this so-called vaccine came into existence, then what's the discussion? The discussion now should only be, how do you bring a corporation to justice? Who personally, I mean, you can't really accuse an institution of murder. You can convict people who use an interpretation to kill people. But the very same people who put that, these reports together also push this very vaccine. And it's even hard to consider that this is happening to babies and young people. You imagine being a parent that ignorant and that trusting. I don't know what the mandate is as far as little kids in school wearing the stupid masks that have no bearing on anything. Dr. Marion Gruber, who was a director of the FDA's vaccine office, and the deputy director, Philip Krause, both quit the FDA in 2021 to protest over the political pressure to authorize vaccine boosters for young people. And those two people say what we say now, basically. The White House pushing this. Remember, Biden doesn't know where he is. He has no relevance to this. People who control and finance that are a different story. You have Big Pharma, the White House, you have the ACLU silent, you have the regime silent. There's a reason they're pushing this, especially on children. This is one of the worst things a state has done in a very long time, and it's very difficult to wrap your brain around. Spread the word. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.